Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I unfortunately just realized I was muted. I'm going to have to start again here. So we lost somebody who had at least a minor role in the wrestling industry, Tom Tiny Lister, who was Zeus on the movie No Holds Barred, and then eventually carried that into the then WWF. He went on, was in WCW for a short period of time, but then went strictly back to acting. He was part of the crew from the Fridays movies and also was in the film The Dark Knight. So that's where he comes in. And Lee, good to have you back with us. How's everything going out in your end of the woods?
You know, I'm just waiting for things to open back up so I can, you know, get some face-to-face interviews going. I just interviewed the Warlord last weekend. I believe it was my first face-to-face interview since like all of COVID started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
it's been a struggle up this way for me with stuff like that, but I've got my second one coming up. I have December 20th. I have IRS, which will be really fun. But I mean, other than that, I'm just waiting to hear from New York on some sort of lockdown again. And other than that, everything's been what's considered the new normal up this way. How about you?
Yeah. Well, we're actually in the midst of a winter weather warning. At least in my end of the area, we've just got rain. It's supposed to turn into snow, which is not good because I'm supposed to travel back down my wife 3 weeks ago, had some complications and that. So that's why we weren't on for all you Blog Talk folks last night. And so I'm supposed to go down and be there this weekend for her. She's supposed to hopefully come back home the first part of the week. So that's kind of what my life has been like lately for the last several days. It's not been the greatest, but you know, we're here, we're doing it, so that's what counts.
Yep. Just kind of
so,
make the most out of.
All right, now on
this. Now.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're
go ahead, Lee. Okay.
No,
okay.
I was just saying, you make the most out of everything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, normally on this show, we don't play audio clips, but we're going to be making an exception tonight. Our good friend Bill After the other day made an announcement. It's a very important one. For those of you who were listening a few weeks ago, we did a 10 bell for the man who was the founder of OneWrestling.com, and when we had that happen, which was Bob Ryder. Bill, who has been running that site for quite a while, didn't know what was going to happen. Well, some things have happened rather quickly, and he made an announcement, and with his gracious permission, we are going to go ahead and play that again. This is courtesy of his YouTube channel, onewrestlingvideo.com.
December 9th, 2020. Hello, everyone. Bill After down here at After's Alley in the After Chat studio. I want to take a minute to thank all of you for your well wishes from I saw them on Twitter, Facebook, instant messages, texts, phone calls. I'm very flattered that so many of you care about what was going to happen with me once the news came out that the static site, www.onewrestling.com, was not going to be around much longer. As you know, or you might not know, that site has been around forever. It was one of the earliest pro wrestling sites, and it was the brainchild of Bob Ryder and Joey Styles. And Joey left the site many, many, many years ago. And unfortunately, we lost Bob the day before Thanksgiving. The website domain is not going to be sold or inherited by anyone, but you people have said wherever I go, you will follow. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate that. And the day the news came out about Bob Ryder's death, actually 2 days afterwards, I received a call from an old friend, Bruce Wirt. Bruce was actually a correspondent for OneWrestling.com when we first started doing videos ages ago. And he used to go out with some of our correspondents and interview wrestlers, etc. And I kind of mentored him. I did mentor him back in those days. Well, he, along with Brady Hicks, the Maestro, Sassy Steph, and a whole lot of other people through the years. Lady B, I remember her when she used to be on One Wrestling also. But they took the VOC, Voice of Choice Nation, and brought it up to where they were getting so many downloads on all their podcasts. And anyway, short story here is Bruce called me. He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, first of all, I'm going to keep One Wrestling Video alive. So all the videos that you're familiar with me doing, interviews and editorials like this, they will stay alive on www.onewrestlingvideo.com. I always say that's the number one. They will also be linked into the VOCNation.com. So what's happening is a few days from now, I believe late Sunday night, I will be meeting with Bruce, who owns VOC Nation, and the head editor, Brady Hicks, who is one of the columnists from my old alma mater, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And we're going to make a plan to move the VOC Nation up to a new level, to another level. Yeah. And the website, there will be changes with the website. A lot of the columnists that were with me at OneWrestling.com, like Jay Shannon and Don Murphy and Sal Lissardo Jr., one of our video correspondents, will all be moving over there. So it's sort of like the One Wrestling sense of being there will be under the umbrella of VOCNation.com. So I'll keep you updated. I'll keep updates on Twitter and Facebook and all my other social medias. I'm not on Instagram a lot, but I will make sure you all know about it. So again, thank you for following me, and this is Bill Apter, and as you know, I always say I'll see you at the matches eventually, and please subscribe to www.onewrestlingvideo.com, and please start to get familiar with www.vocnation.com, because that's going to be my new home on the internet. I love you all for following me.
Well, there you have it. Pretty big news, Lee. OneWrestling.com is basically over, and everything will be moving to VOCNation.com.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm going to have to, keep up with that. It's always a sad thing to see an original leave. I mean by that is, like, the website, it was one of the earliest out there.
Right. Right.
I remember, I believe, being in, like, middle school and everything like that when, the whole dirt sheet thing was, like, a real big thing and everything. And it was one of the sites I always checked. And then, as you get in and out of wrestling, taking a break from watching or, this or that, you still check those sites though. You might stop watching, but there's still that part of the back of your mind where you're still checking and keeping up with
mm-hmm.
it. You're just not.
Yeah.
And that was, that was the go-to site. It's sad to see it go. I would have hoped it would have been somebody taking it over or something, but change is always a good thing. So I wish Bill the best. I met Bill once at Bud Carson's show in 2018. He did a freestyle rap against a current tryout referee in MLW right now called his name's Larry Peace Jr. And the first time I met the both of them, this kid comes up to Bill and just starts rapping. Bill turned his hat around and started rapping back, and all of a sudden, like, I was like, "Where's my phone?" And I started recording. And then after that, I interviewed Bill. And Bill took me around with his camera, and I held the camera while he did a bunch of interviews.
Oh, there you go.
So it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
That's my first time. Yeah, it was my first time meeting him. But I do wish him the best. Go into a new website and everything like that. I will be... somebody who will, check out the website for him and see, what it's about.
Right.
That's a website I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. The name is familiar, but I had not actually ever really spent any time on it. So obviously, I'm going to have to do a little checking on that. And especially, I've known Bill for like the entirety of my time in this industry and that. And, honestly, it as well as I do. A nicer guy in this business cannot be found. And some of the people that are involved in this site, I've known Rob for a while, really, really great guy and that. So there's definitely quite a few people who are well known and well regarded within the business. So It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the site itself transitions and changes a little bit here and there as we go from what it was to what it will probably be now that Bill is putting his influence into the product as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, a story broke earlier this evening before we went on the air, and this has definitely got some rather major implications. Now, this is according to Dave Meltzer, and I know a lot of people don't regard Meltzer all that highly.
I don't.
Although when you talk about dirt sheets. Yeah. Well, when you talk about dirt sheets, of course, the Observer was the original dirt sheet and that. So Dave's reporting that Vince McMahon apparently recently, quote, threw a fit about the working ability of certain guys on the main roster and has had issues with the performance of some larger wrestlers. So apparently McMahon has insisted that several wrestlers go back to the Performance Center, Capital Wrestling Center, whatever you want to call it, for, quote, refining and improving their in-ring skills. Now, the list of names that are involved in this group, you've got Omos, who is AJ Styles' bodyguard, the big guy who was the doorman during that Raw Underground thing. Dabo Kato, who was the guy that they were grooming out of Underground to go to the main roster. Dio Madden, who, of course, now is part of Retribution. Otis. And the guy that they were pinning a lot of their hopes on, Keith Lee.
I'm not going to lie. When I read it, I was actually pretty mad. And mad because of the whole Keith Lee. I don't – here's the thing. They – NXT champion, NXT North American champion, held at the same time.
Yes.
To the main roster, main eventing Raw.
Yep.
And I posted the image today from my podcast, Perched on the Top Rope.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Lee was regulated to WWE main event. Now, for those, you know, everybody who knows main event, that's that, you know, show that's rarely seen on the WWE network. And it's mostly the, it's kind of the talent.
It is. Yeah, there were less viewers of main event than there ever were of 205 Live. And that's not saying a lot.
No, not at all. So my problem is, one, all of that. And then two, now let's add the fact that Keith Lee has been in the business for a long time.
Yes.
To say that you're not happy with his ability, a man who is over 300 pounds that can jump over the top rope and not touch the ropes at all. And I'm kind of baffled with him that his name was called.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I'll admit maybe he's not, you know, very charismatic on the mic. But hey, I mean, not everyone, you know.
But I actually that's a funny thing. I actually like his mic work. I love how I mean, you know, because part of that might be because of the fact that I grew up with Nick Bockwinkel. So although Lee is doing it in the babyface style, he is this erudite, well-spoken person who has a vocabulary that would, supposedly baffle most of the, people on the undercard, his upcoming opponents, and that. So, that's at least that's my take on it. So that's the unit. And the classes are being taught by Adam Pearce and Drew Gulak.
I mean, I'm not. I want to know if it's something specific with Keith Lee that's not liked. That would give me a better understanding about it. If I knew that, if it was something specific, like, okay, when it comes to the amateur wrestling of the headlocks, this and that, the basics of wrestling, them saying, okay, he's a little rusty with it. But, they're not giving any specifics.
Right.
The guy with, like, to me, the guy with AJ Styles and Dabo Kato.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't seen Dabo Kato wrestle aside from what I've seen on Underground, which is fine, whatever,
Right.
There's nothing worse than fake MMA. So, I mean, that was really not impressive because I didn't like Underground for that reason, because I'm an MMA fan.
Right. Well,
but,
the thing was too, as I said, right at point one, all this is a cheap imitation of Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Yeah. Well,
and it really came out that way.
Yeah.
So, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. And it's, the guy with Osmos, the guy with AJ Styles there, I've seen one match of his, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, what I see in him is Giant Gonzalez 2.0. Like, he's almost too big to, like, move. El Gante, Giant Gonzalez, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
He was just too tall. He was too tall, another one, the Great Khali, he was another one. There's an aspect of the height, but being able to have the ability to perform.
Right.
They have the height.
Yep.
I just don't know if performance is going to be there for someone like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as far as Otis, the guy with the money in the bank, because Vince McMahon likes him, and the rest of the wrestling world threw a fit. But that's what money in the bank was supposed to be. It's like the Royal Rumble. It's supposed to elevate a mid-card wrestler into main event status. So then they took it off him, like he's not ready. But when you watch Friday Night SmackDown and you watch Otis, he's funny. He's good for that, and his in-ring ability, to me, Keith Lee and Otis, I don't see why they're doing it to him.
Exactly. I mean, it's like why did they break up Heavy Machinery in the first place? This was an excellent thing.
Oh my God,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm so glad that you said that, because it's not just Otis that they did that to. Like, they took Otis and basically, they split him, Otis and Tucker, up, and then, okay, Tucker, we're going to regulate you to the 24/7 championship because we don't know what to do with you. Okay, fine, they didn't see Tucker as being the star, clearly. They saw it in Otis. That's why Otis won Money in the Bank. But then they put Otis in another tag team. And the other thing, he's not the only one they did that to. They did it to the Iconics as well. They've been doing nothing but having tag team matches. Like, what is the...
Exactly.
Why did you break them up to put them in another tag team? That makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, for those of you who, you know, weren't watching SmackDown tonight, look at what they did. The Riot Squad against which one's the brunette?
It was Billy Kay and Natalya.
Billy Kay, right. And Natalya. What the heck?
Yep.
Come on. You know, Vince, are you that scrambling for something to do that this is what you do? You tear up what creative took a week to write and you put this crap together like 2 hours before showtime? Come on. Seriously. So okay, now got to go on to Ring of Honor, and they have a final battle scheduled for next week on pay-per-view. Four of the names originally scheduled for that have failed COVID-19 tests. And,
oh boy.
And that final battle. And the four are two luchadors who are, at this point, as far as we know, still in Mexico, Bandido and Flamita. But the other two are Ring of Honor regular Kenny King and, get ready for this one, folks, EC3.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a biggie for them. He was a biggie for them.
He was. I mean, this, you know, the fact that, you know, with him doing this whole bit about change your narrative, and he was, you know, going to go around to wherever, and this was supposed to be the next stop, and then eventually there was going to be an AEW stop along the way. You know, that really hurts for him. So, you know.
Yeah, that hurts for him, and that really hurts Ring of Honor right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They absolutely needed this.
Yeah.
And that.
100%.
Now, oh my gosh. Talked about this a few weeks ago, because of how they're currently booking his it looks like when Ethan Page has his contract expire on the 31st, he will be leaving Impact Wrestling. So obviously him and Josh Alexander in the North, they will be splitting up at some point here in probably the next week or two.
Honestly, it's kind of a shame that he's not going to renew with Impact, because he and Josh Alexander were doing great things with as the tag team in the North. And
yeah,
you know, but when, you know, Josh has changed his look, he's lost, I think he said on Facebook, he lost like 40 pounds.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at Ethan Page has also gotten himself in phenomenal shape.
Yep.
However, the interesting fact here that factors into me anyway is the fact that Ethan Page has a lot of friends in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to call it how I see it. You're going to see Ethan Page in AEW.
Yeah, yeah. I would not be surprised. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it still could wind up where he could be doing some crossover because, of course, right now with the current, since you brought that up, I'll just go ahead and flow into it here. The situation with Impact and AEW, which is currently seeing Kenny Omega running around with Impact Executive Vice President Don Callis. It's definitely, you know, a possibility that, yeah, he might not be an Impact talent. He might be an AEW talent, but then could cross over and have a feud with Alexander. And one of the things that I found out about this thing with Impact and AEW, part of the current deal with this is, get this, Impact is actually paying half of AEW's production costs right now in order to do this. a stunned silence from my broadcast partner here, folks.
I'm honestly stunned because if fans at home knew just how much production cost to do a show like that weekly on a network,
mm-hmm.
they would be just as stunned as I am, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
you know.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to pay Kenny Omega per, or, you know, work out some sort of deal?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can think is, with this, is
Tony Khan's a shrewd businessman.
Yeah, I mean, but is
yeah,
Impact
I'll let you have Kenny Omega just help pay, you know, I'll just help pay, you know, my broadcasting costs, and yeah, we'll let you have him on Impact, sure.
I am baffled. Like, I am, if you could see my jaw right now, I have to constantly pick it up even though I'm talking, cuz I'm shocked.
Yeah, I bet. Oh my god.
That is,
when I heard that today, I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. And I'll tell you what, the other thing I got to say, I definitely love Tony Khan's sense of history, because that commercial that he did that played on Impact on Tuesday night, you notice the background, right?
I like the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know where that came from, right?
That background has a certain NWA power feel.
That's it. Well, that's what it is. It's a duplicate of the old NWA. I think that was actually background for the studio for Mid-Atlantic at one point, if I remember right. I'd have to actually go back and look back at the Hard Times promo, because that was exactly the background that was the one that when Dusty did the Hard Times promo.
Yes, yes.
So Tony Khan, go ahead, please.
No. I'll go ahead and finish. I got a good one.
Okay, because I was going to say, one of the things that Dustin talked about when the first time he ever met Tony Khan that he was amazed by was his knowledge of the history of the business and that. Tony Khan is an absolute fanatical student of professional wrestling. So I am sure that Tony thought, hey, why don't we do this, and had that made up to do for the spot for Impact in that. I was just like, this kid is a bloody genius, you know.
So like I dug the background. The only thing I didn't dig were like the little ribs that he was throwing, which was fine. That's not what, you know, I took away from everything. With the background and everything, on sportskeeda.com, I am now your MLW coverage guy. I'm covering everything MLW. And one thing I noticed during the MLW Major League Wrestling Opera Cup is that AAA's Laredo Kid was there in the tournament. And,
I saw that on YouTube.
Pro Wrestling.
I actually watched that.
Yeah. And New Japan Pro Wrestling's Rocky Romero was also in the tournament.
Right.
So they have a working relationship with those two.
Mm-hmm.
We know Impact has a working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they also have a working relationship with AAA. Now they have the working relationship with AAA because Conan also works MLW. With that background, as we know, AEW has a working relationship with NWA because we have Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb who are with NWA, but also appearing on AEW program.
Right.
So the big picture that I took away from all of this, the Kenny Omega promo.
But also, Lee, AEW has a working relationship with AAA.
Yes. And so,
Kenny Omega
is the
current AAA mega champion.
Yes. So what I took away from all of this was we could not just see AEW in Impact. We could see AAA, New Japan Pro Wrestling, MLW, and NWA get involved in whatever this is that's going on.
Yeah.
You could have, and when you think of it like that, there are no endless possibilities. You can just go on for infinity with what could happen.
Please go ahead.
You could have all these companies in like a multi faction winner takes all sort of deal. There's endless possibilities of, you know, all these companies now wanting to, you know, all of them versus WWE sort of mentality. You know, hey, let's all work together, keep our people happy, our talents happy. When contracts are up, we can interchange with this one and that one to this company or that company, you know, and, you know, keep all their streaming stuff, WWE, and they could literally block WWE from signing a lot of their talents and poaching them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, think of this, okay? Four-corner tag team match. The Lucha Brothers.
Yep.
Versus the Good Brothers. Versus the Gorillas of Destiny versus FTR.
Yeah. I
dream big, my friend. I dream big.
Yeah. No, and I do too. And that's what I like about this whole thing. They were able to keep everything kayfabe. Something that has not been done really in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Dirt Sheets had nothing on this.
No.
You know? All of a sudden, Sting appears. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kenny Omega wins the AEW championship, and Don Callis is saying, yeah, you'll hear about it on Impact. Everyone's minds are blown.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you know, everyone's waiting to find out what's going to happen. And I, for one, I really haven't been checking Dirt Sheets or paying attention to Dirt Sheets that much on it, because I don't want to spoil the surprise for me on it. But, like, I'm dreaming big with it. I'm thinking way outside the box with things, but I think that they're great ideas, and for them, you know, really, I'm hoping that they happen. That's what I'm really hoping. I want to see a multi-promotion wrestling extravaganza. You know, has WWE shaking and has WWE rethinking everything that they've been doing with their company, because competition is good, and WWE hasn't had competition since the good old days of WCW against WWE.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, you want to get your mind blown a little bit more. I'm about to really do it to you here. Okay.
Okay.
The word is out that there apparently are negotiations going on between Tony Khan and CM Punk.
I'm a huge CM Punk fan, so
I've worked with the guy.
I am jealous.
Wait till you hear who is the person that is working in the middle behind the scenes between the two. John Moxley's wife, Renee.
You know, honestly, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, she has kept a relationship with him. Right. She has kept a relationship with him throughout the years. They've always been on good terms. The early stuff with AEW and Punk was just not well done, and that, which is why he kind of blew him off. But now this is, Renee's kind of entered into the picture and is starting to work through on this. So the fans who have chanted his name at WWE shows for all these years, you might be seeing him back. The Sting deal, as you were talking about, which is, of course, as many people already know by now, it is a multi-year deal. He'll be making regular appearances. And if his health allows, he might actually wrestle a match or two. And you kind of noticed Wednesday night when he was on, he played those teasers. Well, I mean, first off, you had the video of Darby Allin doing the Rorschach thing. And then, of course, at the end, the last picture that the shrink shows looks like Sting's makeup. Darby grabs it and pushes it up against his face, and that. And then Sting makes that comment about, you know, like old times, and points directly at Darby, who is, of course, up in the seats, much like Sting was always up in the rafters of the building when he was in his silent period and that. And then, of course, when he hugs Cody and says, "See you around, kid." Now, but according to the Observer, one of the reasons Sting signed is that Tony Khan made a deal with him that he can leave on his own terms, which is something WWE wasn't going to allow him to do.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, in my eyes, Sting was one of those guys that even though WWE had always wanted, but they never got him until, you know, way later sort of deal.
Right.
But he wasn't a WWE company guy. He wasn't WWE made. So how they used him was, for lack or for better terms, terrible. And then when, you know, the thing with the neck injury happened, and, you know, WWE said, you know, that, you know, he's done sort of deal, he's retired, you know, WWE Hall of Fame and all of that. But I guess Sting was pitching ideas to Vince to do a cinematic match with the Taker, and, you know, everybody wanted a Taker versus Sting match. You know, it was the one match fans had always wanted. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a match we're not ever going to get now.
Right.
And for Sting to, you know, to be able, I think, in my personal opinion, every wrestler should be able to go out the way that they want to go out. It shouldn't be, no, you're going to go out this way because we said so. You know,
right?
How do you do that to somebody who? Now I know Sting hasn't worked, wasn't, you know, WWE forever, but like, how do you tell somebody who made you millions and billions of dollars that you're not going to go out the way you want, or you're going to go out the way we want you to?
Right, like, I mean, there is, of course, the time-honored tradition of doing the honors when you are going out, which is that, you know, you never go out on top. You always go out on your back.
You're supposed to lose. I knew that.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, go out on the way you want to in the terms of, you know.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle didn't get to pick his retirement opponent. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let this guy beat me. You know, but we didn't get that. We didn't get that at all. We kind of got shafted.
Same thing with Moxley / Ambrose.
Yeah.
They trashed him out, and that. So. Okay, for, you know, the last couple of weeks, we did not see Santana on AEW. And it's unfortunately due to a sad situation within his family life. He made a post on Instagram, and a couple of weeks ago, his stepfather passed away. And, he posts on Instagram. He says, "My respect for him was infinite, and I will forever be grateful for the love and admiration he had for all of us, but most of all, the love and respect he had for my mother. As a kid, he always encouraged me to follow my dream. He worked his off every day to make sure we always had what we needed. Just the true definition of a working family man. I can never repay you for what you did for us, but I will continue our job of holding down the family and taking care of Mom. Thank you for all the memories, lessons, advice, understanding, and love. It will be with me forever. Love you, Jose."
That was very touching. And, you know, it's, you know, that's another thing I don't think. I don't know, it just sounds like I'm bashing on WWE a lot, but I don't mean to.
No, I understand.
You know, when a family, I've heard stories like when a family member dies, you know, especially with WWE, you're not given much time, you know, if you're not a big star.
Right.
I'll share this story. Curtis Hughes, Mr. Hughes, while in WWF in his first run, lost his little brother. And
wow.
He did not have any time off to go and say goodbye. But Mr. Hughes also doesn't do funerals. But still,
mm-hmm.
not to have that time, you know, to grieve that sort of thing, you know, like,
yeah.
Here at least we know that, you know, he had a couple of weeks where he could, you know, start the mourning
right.
process, or you know, and be able
mm-hmm.
to grieve a little bit without, you know, without having to worry. Oh, all right, I can go to the funeral
yeah.
today, have 2 days, then get back on a plane and I'm out of here. At least
right.
he got,
yeah,
you know, that at least.
Yeah.
He got that couple
he's
of
got,
weeks.
He's got the time to do, yeah, to do what he needs to do to, you know, be with the family, help out and all of that type of thing. And that, and Tony's letting him have that time. So again, much respect to Tony Khan for what he's doing for the wrestlers and that. Now definitely got it. Now we'll got to bring this back up a little bit and talk about our title subject of the evening. And now you think about this. What if you were a WWE superstar? And not just a WWE superstar, but a title holder. And imagine that your cousin is a world famous entertainer. And in fact, actually appeared with you at a WrestleMania. Now, all of a sudden, in a few weeks, your cousin is going to be appearing on the competition.
Hold on.
Yes.
Isn't this same person with the cousin that is their cousin is also in their theme music?
Yes. Yes.
Do I have that right?
Indeed.
All right.
You do have that correct.
Okay.
And the other thing about it is that he was involved in a merchandise collaboration with The Undertaker for his 30th anniversary.
Oh. All right. I think I know where we're going with this one.
It's me, the D-O-double-G. Yep, the Snizoop Dizog is going to be on the January 6th episode of AEW Dynamite. And that's got a few people over at Stanford not too happy because of all of this.
I wouldn't be either after releasing merch like that.
Hall of Fame ceremonies. Yeah, he's been at Hall of Fame ceremonies, so, and done a few other things like that. The thing that apparently, of course, is making this happen is that Snoop is one of the judges of the, in fact, actually, it will be premiering the very next night on TNT, Go Big Show, which is that extreme talent competition. And, of course, one of the other judges happens to be none other than Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that obviously Cody did a little talking and said, hey, look, you know, I know you're a big wrestling guy. Yeah, I know your cousin. I actually worked with your cousin back in the day, so on and so forth. But, you know, hey, since you're on our network, why don't you come on our wrestling show and that? And, of course, so the tie-in with the network and that is why AEW also got Shaq, who, of course, Wednesday night took a glass of water to the face from Brandy.
Yeah.
Well, interesting stuff there. So, now, of course, tomorrow night, live all over, is going to be Triple Mania. This is definitely a big deal. Let me pop up the card real quick. I'd actually called our good friend Hugo Savinovich, who of course is helping to book the show along with Conan. But obviously, of course, he's really busy with this. So it's going to be something. Now, it's going to be an empty arena thing, but it should be real good. They're going to have they're opening with a trios match, which will consist of Los Psycho Circus, which is Psycho Clown, Monster Clown, and Murder Clown, against Blue Demon Jr. and La Familia Real, which is L.A. Park and El Hijo de L.A. Park. Then there will be a three-way tag team match. They are. And then a three-way tag team match for the AAA World Tag Team Championship, which the Lucha Brothers will be facing off against Gentes del Aire, which is Mr. Z's Jr. and Octagon Jr., and Los Mercenarios, which will be represented by Tejano Jr. and Rey Escorpion. Then there will be another trios match, Poder del Norte, which consists of Tito Santana, Carta Brava Jr., and Mocho Cota Jr. And, oh my God, you want some nasty... Rudos, as they're called, or heels. They will be facing off against the team of Nino Hamburguesa, Maximo, who is, of course, one of the Exoticos, and probably one of the most fun play, Mr. Iguana. Yeah, and this guy, I mean, he has his face painted up with the green and the black, carries a stuffed iguana with him, or actually brings it to the ring in his mouth as he curls to the ring and that. And the fans love him to death. Then the match, which is really the big thing for them, which is the Marvel Lucha Libre Edition exhibition match. Arachno and Leyenda Americana will be facing Terror Purpuro, Purple Terror, and Venenodi, Venom. The semi-main, Kenny Omega against Laredo Kid for the AAA Mega Championship. And then the main event, Pagano versus Chessman, a Lucha de Apuestas hair versus hair match.
Ooh.
So I expect a lot of bloodshed in that one.
Yeah.
So that one, I think, will, I think, you know, be ready. Be ready. I mean, Lucha de Apuestas matches are usually very messy affairs, and especially at Triple Mania, they are very, very messy affairs. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, I'm looking forward to Omega versus Laredo Kid. Yugo has told me that they've been working on this match, and they have got a really big match set up for this. It should really be good. So, all right, and with that, we're gonna call it a week. We'll talk a little bit about more of all of this stuff next week. So, Leaf, thanks a lot, my friend. You have a great week. I will talk to you later. And fans, we'll catch you next week. This is the Dean signing off. You've been listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den airs every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Replays can be found on Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next week.